Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Don Cooper's here, too, because he's a great friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, always has something, some good things to talk to us about to help us to stimulate us a little bit, to help us do a better job of running our businesses, but also in the way, especially in the way that we reach out to other people, the way that we reach out to our associates, to the partners that we have out there in the marketplace, to our customers, even maybe to our competitors. Don's America's networking guru. He's the co-author, along with Beverly Williams, of a book called The 30-Second Commute, The Ultimate Guide to Starting and Operating a Home Business. And he's our good friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
As always. Don, you've got salesmanship on your mind today, haven't you?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I've been doing a lot of training on sales recently. I'm doing a public seminar in Boulder at the end of this month. So I've been working on some new material. And
what's the salesmanship issue that's really on your mind these days?
Been focusing a lot on the idea of upselling, increasing the size of a customer's order.
Hmm.
That's an area.
In other words, so something we're all familiar with is, would you like fries with that, sir?
Basically, yeah. I've been doing a lot of work with some really great salespeople. One of my favorite audiences to speak with are salespeople who are already really, really good at what they do. That challenges me to come up with some great ideas because they can't use Sales 101. They need better stuff.
They need 401, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. They need advanced graduate level stuff.
That's
and
right.
So it's a great challenge to me. And I find that one of the areas in which most salespeople, even the top ones, can get better at is increasing the size of the order. Once you've made the sale, to make it bigger, there's often a lot of opportunity there that salespeople just leave on the table.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of people, once they get a yes, once they get an acceptance, they pretty much just want to get out of there, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. They breathe a big sigh of relief. Oh, I made the sale. I'm done.
Right.
And run off.
Yeah.
Whereas really, really great salespeople say, okay, now we've got a yes. What else can we get a yes to?
And you're not talking about piling on. You're talking about not missing an opportunity.
Exactly. I don't mean selling them stuff they don't need, but exactly the opposite. Figuring out what else they do need and selling them that. Because once a customer has said yes, once you've gotten them over that initial hump and they've agreed to buy from you, that is the ideal time to sell them more stuff. And really, when I say upselling, I'm talking about three different things that are all kind of related. When we talk about increasing the size of an order, there are three ways to do that. The first is to sell them a more expensive product or service than they had originally intended to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Second way is to add items onto the order in terms of accessories, additional items that they had initially planned on buying necessarily. And the third way is to sell them a larger quantity of product or service, maybe a longer-term contract or a larger quantity of product than they had intended to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reasons for doing any or all of those things. And the key is, what is in that customer's best interest?
And what is it that they are emotionally interested in doing?
Yeah.
Especially if it's a consumer item.
Exactly.
I was just thinking as you were talking about an automobile.
Right.
You know, car companies, like a lot of businesses, they make their money sell you accessories.
Yeah, it's the format.
Because once they've got you sold on the automobile, that extra stripe is not going to help you go down the road better, but
no.
It sure is going to make you feel better in that car. And if that extra stripe costs $100, even though it costs the company $5, buy it.
And that's exactly what the salesperson should be thinking of. What else would this customer want to buy that would help enrich their experience? Mm-hmm. What else do we have to sell this person that would make them happier or give them more security or make their product last longer or anything like that?
What I always told myself and what I used to tell people that I trained about in selling, Don, is that it's my job, it's my role in life to make sure, it's my obligation, in fact, to make sure that my customers have the maximum opportunity to feel really good.
Absolutely. And I like that word obligation because that is exactly it. As a salesperson, we are obligated to make sure that we take care of our customer. And because all too often, the customer doesn't really know what they want. They don't know what they need. More often than not, we're a lot more experienced. And so we recognize when, you know, what they want to buy is the wrong item for their application. Maybe what they want
They know what their concerns are. They know what they need, but they don't know about all the things that are available to deliver what they need.
Exactly.
And don't forget, there's a difference between what they need and what they want. And then we go back to the car, because they need an automobile, but what they want is a car with that stripe on it.
Exactly. Or they may need a consulting package and not realize the consulting will be best for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they need some office equipment and don't know precisely which kind is going to be best for them.
So selling is getting the customer what they need. Mm-hmm. Selling up is helping them get what they want.
Yeah, it's going beyond the basic needs, exactly. You know, if you're selling somebody printer ink, you want to sell them as much as possible because that's in their best interest. When does the printer run out of ink? At the worst possible time.
On Saturday night, when you're trying to get a project ready.
Exactly, and when you're on deadline. And so it's always better to have more ink and that kind of thing. That's what you're looking for. You want to be thinking about the customer's needs beyond the way they're thinking about them.
You know, when I was with Sears many, 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 many years ago. That's four minis, ladies and gentlemen. That's a long time ago. It's a couple of lifetimes ago in dog years. Not years, but lifetimes. Anyway, they taught me to sell up, selling down. And I want to talk about that with our good friend Don Cooper right after these messages. It's 20 after. We'll be right back after these messages. Don Cooper's book is The 30-Second Commute. It's available wherever books are sold.
Every night I have myself that simple question.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Don Cooper, the co-author of The 30-Second Commute. Don, give us your website, please.
www.doncooper.com.
And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Articles, tips, all kinds of stuff. I'm working on doing some revisions on the site, so in a few weeks it should have some new stuff on there.
Can they find out more about your book there?
Absolutely.
And over, I'm sure, to one of the online stores if they want to do that. And
yeah,
folks,
or you can just go right to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble online or at the local bookstore.
Yeah, go to your local bookstore and pick it up and noodle through it a little bit, folks. If you're a home-based business owner or want to be, this is the place to start. I promise you, you'll like it. It was fun, Don, for me to see that book in its formative stages as you guys were writing it. It was a lot of fun to see that.
It's been cool seeing the bookstores, too. Even Bev and I have been out and signing autographs whenever we see the book out. Right. I found it in a little tiny bookstore in the United Concourse at the Tampa Bay Airport.
Wow. That's got to make you feel good.
Oh, yeah, it does. And we've gotten some good reviews on it. A lot of people who have read it have written to us and called us and just raved about it. So
congratulations. That's great. That's a great feeling, because I know how much work goes into something like that.
Yeah.
Don, let's get back to our upselling idea that you have. When I was with Sears, all those many years ago, they taught me to sell up by selling down. That was the little catchphrase. And what they meant was, when somebody walks in and says, I need some tires. We didn't go to the two-ply, and folks, that'll tell you how long ago this was. We didn't go to the two-ply $19 tire. We went all the way up to the $50 steel radial, which now are $200 a piece, I guess. But in those days, they weren't. And so the idea was you took them, you didn't presume that they couldn't afford what you had. You presumed that they could, or at least it wasn't your position to presume anything.
Right.
So you showed them the very best that you had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's actually a proven principle. Robert Cialdini, Cialdini, wrote a book called The Psychology of Influence. And it is a brilliant book. And one of the principles he talks about is contrast. And when you show something expensive first, then when you go down and show them the next cheaper thing, it looks a lot cheaper by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you show the cheaper item first and then go up, the more expensive item looks a lot much more expensive by comparison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Brunswick Pool Table Company discovered that they sell more expensive pool tables by starting people at the top end and working down than starting at the bottom and working up.
The other thing that happens is even if the person you're selling to doesn't buy the top of the line the first time, they'll leave there aspiring to one day come back and get that other one.
Right. Yeah. If you show them,
I've actually seen that happen myself.
Yeah. If you show them the bottom end first, that becomes the bar, and then judge everything against that whatever bottom level is. But if you show them the top level first, that becomes the bar.
It also says something to them about how you apparently feel about them.
Right.
Which is a mistake, I think.
Well,
don't you think so? I mean, if I walk in, I mean, I've actually walked in myself, and, you know, I'm not a rich man, but I, you know, sometimes I can afford to buy the best on that they have. And I've actually walked in and the guy said, well, yeah, here's our bargain basement model. And I look at my clothes and I think, did I come in with torn pants or something? You know?
Yeah, actually, that can be a little insulting. And I think most consumers and most business people have the sort of fear of not being taken seriously. And some people all too often will judge somebody by the way they look and offer them something that's cheap or at the lower end of the price range.
But also, Don, I think it has to do with how that salesperson feels about price points.
That's also very true.
See, I think that's the biggie right there because I've actually had salespeople say to me, well, this is our top of the line, but it's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
I've actually had people say that to me.
I believe it. I've heard similar things.
That's the dumbest thing in the world you can say if you're a salesperson.
Too many salespeople and too many business owners don't recognize the value in what they sell. In fact, most business owners radically undercharge what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They undersell it.
Because they feel the pressure from the big box companies, don't they?
Well, and they don't see the value in themselves. They tend to undervalue their own work. And they don't look at things from their customer's point of view.
Right.
They look at it from their own point of view. And that's
for example, a lot of times I think salespeople behave the way we were just talking about because they themselves couldn't imagine spending that much money for that item.
Precisely.
And that's a big mistake.
Should never get into the trap as salespeople or business owners of assuming that everyone else is like us. But more often than not, the opposite is true.
Folks, if you've got salespeople and you don't know how they feel about your top-of-the-line products, if you have salespeople and you think that maybe they are afraid to sell the top-of-the-line, you either need to get them some training or you need to get some more salespeople.
In fact, when I do sales training, it's one of the things that we'll talk about. I will facilitate discussions among salespeople about the products, about the prices, and it can be interesting what comes out of those discussions.
And as we know, Don, the higher items are where the profit is.
Absolutely.
That's where those margins are. If you've got a profitability problem in your business, folks, maybe that's the reason. Don Cooper,
exactly.
Thank you for being here. You opened our eyes today. Good job.
My pleasure, Jim.
As always, Don Cooper. That's doncooper.com. Don't forget the book is The 30-Second Commute. Thanks, Don. See you next time. Quick break, right back with Mr. Robert Price. Stay with us, 29 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.